Welcome back to Old Car Wax with NBA Playoffs. Back to Old Car Wax, the NBA Playoffs edition. Today we have my co-host Sean and our special guest Chet, who came up to the countryside just to give us some input. And we're talking the second round that just ended for three of the sets of teams, even though Boston and Washington is still playing as a 3-3 tie. And you know how Boston kicks ass at home, so that should be a very, very interesting final game seven there. But let's go to the easiest one so we can get past them quickly. And that's the Golden State, Utah, and Toronto, Cleveland. But before I go through that, what's up, fellas?
Hey, how you doing? What's
happening? Yeah, y'all on these fucking phones.
trying to see what's what with this crazy mess, man.
Setting it up, man. Setting it up.
I got you. Yeah, that's what we do, though. That's the part of life now, though.
Right.
Let's hit the Toronto-Cleveland, because I really thought Cleveland would at least had some heart and, pushed it to at least a one win. We said what? Five game series.
We originally said five games, and it was really a scrimmage for the Cavaliers, man. They were just looking like.
But see, it was a scrimmage, but it goes back to saying what I started out in the playoffs saying, Cleveland can't lose a game.
They can't lose a game.
I mean, Toronto's a nice all-around team, but don't get me wrong, they're not the same caliber team as Cleveland.
Not at all.
If Cleveland has any idea what they're going to go up against Golden State, they can't show any weakness.
Oh, absolutely.
See what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I expect the same thing from Golden State. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, speaking on Cleveland, you know, they added some pieces. And, you know, they was a little rocky before the playoffs started. So as the playoffs got going, you know, they turned on another button.
So I don't mean to sound disrespectful to them, but I didn't watch them most of the season because they're just so dominant. You know, you kind of expect them to win. So it's kind of hard to say, and you made a good point, if they added pieces, what pieces did they add to kind of highlight for them to be better? Or to be a lot more well-rounded. Because they won last year.
And
people keep forgetting that they fucking won.
They improved their bench. I mean,
that's what it's about.
Yeah, for the most part, man, they've been having a lot of little small injuries that's been just kind of making their road a little more bumpy than usual. But the good part about it is Kevin Love's not injured.
Right.
Kyrie's not injured. Shoot, Iman Shepherd is out there doing his thing this year, you know, with no
injuries. He has
injuries.
A better flow of his game this year.
Yeah, most definitely.
He has a better shooting percentage this year.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, he's taking a lot more shots. He's a lot more confident in his game. You know, it's just something he went through in the offseason that – you know, I think LeBron made a, you know, told him, look, you better than what you're showing these people.
Right.
You know, I need you to step up in order to make this team run.
And he has.
you know, when he's coming off the bench or when he's playing, you know, because he's a great defensive player. He's a very, very great defensive player. But in turn, now he's scoring a little more. So that contributes to the whole. So they don't shoulder all of the scoring. And then those bench players just got to maintain until Kyrie or LeBron gets back in. So that was pretty good. But to me, I was kind of expecting them to go through. So I wasn't excited at watching them. So now I'm kind of excited because if Isaiah Thomas actually gets into the conference finals with him, how do they stop him? So I want to see their defense for him. Cleveland going to beat them anyway.
Yeah.
But I want to see their defense because you got players on the Golden State side that they have to do the same thing for.
And see, I don't think Boston has a chance. Like, if they win tonight, if Boston win tonight, which is going to be a really good game,
yeah,
they're going to end up getting swept.
So you think they'll get swept too?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Tell me.
And what. I say that with the utmost respect for Boston.
Okay.
I say that with the utmost respect for Boston. But when we figure out, just like you was just saying, Cleveland. When I say we, I'm speaking as Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
If we have to try to figure out how to guard Isaiah Thomas, okay, what about everybody else we don't have to worry about?
Which is true, and you've seen that. So when they needed somebody and he wasn't on the floor, they kind of just flowed through
their
offense.
Well, Avery Bradley, man, y'all definitely sleeping on Avery Bradley, man.
I don't think he's competitive for Cleveland, though. I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't have Isaiah on the floor, he's not showing much.
He's not the same player with Isaiah not on the floor.
That's my point. I don't think he can hold
his
down.
He's a good all-around player. He makes bad decisions sometimes, but what I like about him is he's aggressive.
Yeah.
And with Isaiah Thomas out of the game, I mean, you're going to have to do everything.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's capable of doing that. But in your opinion, Sean, I mean, why do you see him as being at least a balance for that team when Isaiah's not on the floor?
Well, he's definitely been showing up in this Wizards series.
The Wizards.
Look, I like Avery Bradley. I don't know what y'all talking about, and I don't know what games y'all looking at. Avery Bradley does his thing without Isaiah Thomas on the court. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying he's garbage. That guy's garbage, man. What are you pushing him up?
He's not garbage. That's not what we're saying.
I'm saying Avery Bradley's gonna have a better series if they beat the Wizards tonight. Mm-hmm. Avery Bradley's gonna have a way better series than Isaiah Thomas. No question about it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like
what I mean to say is about Avery Bradley is this. Okay, watch this. Who's the best player on the Boston team?
All around or scoring? Because we can definitely make that argument. I mean, Damian Lillard is the best scorer on the Blazers, but is he the best player?
Boston.
But that's what I'm saying. For me personally, I would definitely say Al Horford is the best player on that team.
Okay, so if I had to give you a player off of Boston, you're going to want Al Horford.
You damn right.
Really?
I don't agree with that. Yeah. I don't agree with that. So I really, to be honest, right now, I don't believe you. I do not believe you.
Is going to be Al Horford. Second player I would pick would be Avery Bradley. The third player I would pick would be Isaiah Thomas. Then I would pick probably Jay Crowder.
So Horford, for me, is that guy that fits into a team. If you put Isaiah Thomas on the team, he leads the team. People trade for mostly leaders. I need that nigga to score. I need somebody to come to my team and goddamn score. I don't need a secondary player that can get me some rebounds and maybe pass it off and give me about 12 to 15 points a game. They want a nigga out there doing 20 plus and dominating when they need it.
And
when they need
Al
it,
Horford.
That ain't Al Horford.
That ain't Al Horford.
That's what I mean by that. I get that Al Horford is a good overall player that can be a good role player,
good attitude,
to do
that.
Everything. But I'm not trading for him unless that's where my need is. If my need is there, then I'm grabbing him.
I just don't feel like Isaiah Thomas is going to do anything.
So for the end of Cavaliers. So is Wall the best player on Washington?
Yes.
Why?
Wall's the best player because he controls and he leads that team.
No, he controls well. By what, though?
By taking control of the game offensively, defensively, passing.
Defensively?
Yes.
I think he's a... He's okay, man.
See, basically what Sean is trying to say is, basically this is what he's saying right now from what I'm computing over here. He's saying that if you take Isaiah Thomas out of Boston, mm-hmm. Boston would still be in the same position that they're in.
Thanks to Avery Bradley and Al Horford.
That's and what I don't saying. Agree.
Al Horford and Jay Crowder. Yeah.
That's what
okay,
saying.
They won't be number one. They
no,
wouldn't
no, no,
be
no.
I'm
not
one.
Even saying number one. I'm
talking about in the position
that.
They're in right now with Washington.
Would they be a game seven? Would they be a game seven?
No, they wouldn't know. Be in the. They that, wouldn't be in the semifinals.
That's questionable.
Without
that's
Isaiah Thomas, they wouldn't even be in the semis. They would be. They would be in the same position that Chicago would be, a number eight seed.
Bye bye, bye bye.
First round
at home.
At home
game right now.
Yeah. Shutting them down.
Okay. I guess.
No, we not. I'm not trying to change your mind. You can feel what you feel, right. But I'm telling you, if he's not on the damn floor, that's a problem. That's a problem. And this is a great segue because I'm going to jump to the West Coast.
Right.
Cool.
Because San Antonio played without Kawhi
yeah, they did.
And beat the shit out of them. Beat the hell out of them.
Oh, out of Houston.
Out of Houston. They Ooh. Beat the hell out of them. At
they was gonna
Houston.
Lose. They Houston don't play good enough defense.
So why were they breaking down and beating San Antonio in the first place?
They were breaking down and beating San Antonio because of ego. They were really ego driven.
And so that's fine. You can have your ego in game seven. That is the best time to have your
right.
ego,
but
though. Don't you
make
think?
The game seven.
I mean, I'm sorry. Game six. You knew you was at home, and Kawhi, the best prolific scorer on the floor, wasn't there. We're going to have to blow these niggas out.
You base that on what? I base that on coaching, personally.
So I'm still good
you
with that.
You saying it was bad coaching on Houston's part?
Yes.
Yes. And... Your
what changes?
Boy.
What changes could you have made being a coach?
Well, first off, your superstar player could have came out a whole lot better.
So,
and if you felt like if you couldn't motivate your superstar player to come out a little bit better, you could have made some adjustments to let that superstar player know that he could be better.
So he didn't motivate him, and the overall team was playing like garbage because. He was playing like garbage.
Right. It was like they gave up.
Are we
up.
Talking about the MVP? Who are we talking Gentlemen, are we talking about the MVP? I'm asking you guys because I got a little lost. Are we talking about the MVP?
we're talking about one of the nominees for MVP.
For MVP.
Yes, we are talking about one of the nominees.
Who attempted, what, 8 shots in the first half?
Hey,
attempted.
Man.
Attempted 8 shots in the first half.
Hey, man.
That's ridiculous. Even when you hurt, you try to shoot the ball. Even when you hurt, you're trying to still shoot the ball.
Sometimes do you feel like you can do too much in your downtime? And what I mean by that is,
wow.
You know, maybe it can hurt you more than, you know, you really helping the team.
I feel like, I feel like I said this in the last podcast, and y'all didn't even hear me. If the coach is a punk, the team is a punk. And D'Antoni has proven that.
So
Hold on. We were briefly talking about how D'Antoni was ahead of his time. And how he's just really good with the system and the team that he has.
So Shay, we're sorry, but we're talking about you right now. Our boy
Shay
came here and talked about D'Antoni as being one of the best coaches in the league and was ahead of his time.
Coach of the year.
Yeah.
Proclaimed coach of the year.
So we're going to call you out, bro.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
No, I absolutely don't agree with that.
Yeah, that, I mean, you know, that guy there, he's a nice coach, but he has weak spots.
But he has too many because his dominant thinking is to outscore the other team.
That's his go-to.
Mm-hmm.
We can outscore him.
Yep.
But sometimes, just like you was just saying, if you got an off-game shoe, then your whole game plan is down the drain.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every time. If you have a bad game shooting, and this shows, if you want to go to the stats or whatever you want to, if you have a bad game shooting in his system, you lose.
Yeah.
Which they did. And not only do you lose, you get humiliated because you're dependent on that.
You're dependent on the shot.
The only difference between Houston and Golden State is you got guys that can do both.
Yeah, who want to play defense.
They'll do defense or they'll drive to the hole. They're not just always shooting three-pointers, even though they can always shoot three-pointers. Right.
Their off shooting games reflect on their defense as far as still being able to win the game. You know, I mean, they can have an off-game shooting, you know, but they play strong on both ends of the court so they can, you know, they find a way to pull it out, you know?
Man, Houston going to have to do some adjustments, man. They didn't have new coaches, so I definitely don't think they're going to get rid of D'Antoni no time soon. But that game six, man, the attitude that everybody had and the attitude that James Harden came on that court with was like, I don't really give a shit about what D'Antoni talking about tonight. We already lost, just kind of going through the motions. So,
and again, that's coaching. If you can't motivate your damn team to say, look, I know we losing, but now pride is in here. Y'all can beat these dudes if we start dropping goddamn shots. But even your main player, Harden, and I said this on the last podcast, I said he has never shown up for me when there's a time to win the game. When it's a time to win the game. The other game that they lost, and this is, I think, back to your point, Chet, it just came to my mind. When that block was right there and he tried to shoot that three-pointer, it just crushed him.
Yep.
It crushed the hell out of him. And he's like, wow, I just got humiliated in front of everybody, MVP. You know what I'm saying? So it hurt him. So mentally,
I didn't think about that.
It just came to me because Chet said it. You don't know what's going on in his downtime.
Yeah.
In his downtime after that game, the way he walked off that field, I mean off the court, he was like, oh shit. I didn't do it. Yeah, you didn't do it. And you didn't even get an opportunity because you're not that great of a player.
Mm.
I never seen Jordan get blocked at his last attempt. He may have missed. He may have missed. Yeah. Even damn on LeBron, he may have missed, but he never puts you in a position that I'm gonna get myself free.
Well, at the layup, I mean, at the basket, at the basket. But shooting a jumper or something like that, I've never seen LeBron get blocked like that.
No. Yeah. So mentally, he was probably like, "Oh shit, maybe I shouldn't shoot. I don't want to get blocked again." What?
So you only shoot 10 shots?
Shoot
in the game?
10 shots, and they had to be open.
Nobody around.
Nobody around.
I ain't go for that. It's a mental thing, man.
Damn. Exactly. Because you saw his whole demeanor wasn't really, I want to take over the game. I'm going to keep
down,
shooting.
Shoulders drop.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Hey, yeah.
But even when you're looking at it in that way, even when you're looking at how San Antonio played, because I said San Antonio has the best opportunity to beat Golden State.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It showed it last night until Kawhi got injured.
Well, let's talk about Utah real quick. Utah looked great, man. They didn't win a game.
Yeah, I know.
But they look good out there, man. I was impressed that Rudy Gobert even was still relevant. You know, he did his thing, even though, again, when you're playing against the Warriors, and your focus is the paint, mm-hmm. you're not going to accomplish anything. You know what I'm saying?
Not with that kind of team.
Nah, not at all. I think they need somebody that's going to be able to spread the ball more, so Joe Johnson's going to have to go.
Yeah.
I think they
He's
need
a ball stopper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they need a younger point guard or more
you need
sturdy,
speed.
Consistent. Yeah.
You need speed.
So you don't like Exum?
I like Exum, but I don't know why George Hill is there. You know what I'm saying? Like
George Hill bringing the veteranism that you need to lead the young dudes. You see what I'm saying?
I think he's doing the same thing that Paul.
You missed George. You got to don't forget this. You missed him when he was gone.
He was good. Yeah, yeah.
You missed him.
He showed up, but I just think that it's not a good thing for Exum for George Hill to be there because George Hill still got juice. You know, and that's stopping Dante from being the starting point guard somewhere. You know, here, basically.
Does he need to be a starting point guard? I mean, you said, does he need to be a starting point guard?
Right now?
So, the league, who needs a starting point guard? So, if you look at it that way, you need more quality point guards. Quality.
Yeah.
Remember, we talked about that last week. There's not a lot of quality. There's some guys that'll come out and do their thing, but
see, you got to look at it like this. Everybody looks at when you say point guard. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a different opinion on what they want their point guard to be.
Yeah,
true, true.
I mean, me and Sean was having this discussion several occasions. What I can say about my point guard, mm-hmm. I don't want a traditional point guard. And what I mean by a traditional point guard,
go ahead.
I don't want a pass first point guard.
Right.
But mm-hmm. I don't want a scoring point guard. I want a point guard that's kind of balanced.
Right.
I want a point guard that's maybe I give you an example of what I mean by balanced point guard. Conley.
Michael Conley.
He's a balanced, true point guard.
Yeah. Because when it's time to take over a game,
he can take over.
He, mm-hmm. When it's time.
Right.
But he don't.
He looks to distribute the ball and make others better around him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But his vision and everything else that he has allows him to be a legitimate scorer.
Yeah.
I can count on him.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You know that. I mean, some people want a. I want my. You know, some people want their point guard to
be explosive.
Explosive,
mm-hmm.
nothing but running gun. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
You got some who just want their point guard to come down the court, man, and distribute the ball.
Yeah, right. Find they're the open man,
Ricky Rubio.
They're not find worried the about the man. Points they're putting up. Or
Ricky
know what
Rubio.
I'm
God damn it.
So I mean, you know, everybody. It just depends on the system. Wants their point guard to do this and do that.
That's true, and the better point guards are balanced. Now,
right. I agree
then I
that.
Look at how many turnovers. Because you can be ditching it out, but your ass is throwing it away.
But watch this. This goes back to something me and Sean was talking about, too. Now, I can go to the top players in the league as far as assists.
Mm-hmm.
The top players in the league with those 8-9 assists that they average a game, 11, whatever the highest is down to the first, second, third.
Mm-hmm.
They have a high turnover ratio.
Yep.
James Harden had 11.2. He was number one. John Wall had 10.7.
What was Westbrook?
And Russell Westbrook had 10.4. That was for the season.
Now, if you go and you check out the turnovers they had.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they were tremendous. They were huge.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But in order to get that assist column right, you're gonna have some turnovers.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way you're going to have a good game and assist without having a few turnovers.
Well, and again, back to your traditional point guard. Right. Those traditional point guards didn't have that much turnovers because their whole thought pattern was distributed to the right person. Where a scorer is kind of like, hey, if I can score, I'm going to do it. But wait a minute, that guy looks open and he didn't really get a full look.
Okay, real quick.
Because if you're balancing, then you really don't get it. Go ahead.
So James Harden had 11 assists, 0.2. His turnover ratio this year was 5.68.
So average.
Average. John Wall's assist again was 10.7. His turnovers, which was third, was 4.17. And Russell Westbrook was 5.44 turnovers, of course, and then his was 10.4 assists.
So half.
So half and half.
Half and half.
So I think that's, honestly, I think that's balanced.
Yeah.
Now, if it was like 8 to 10, then he like, you need to stop passing.
Right.
You know, because every pass you're throwing is going to get turned over.
Right.
Every other pass is going to get turned over. So you get that 50% right there, I think you're good. I think that's still good because, to your point, those guys still score.
Yep.
Those, all three of those guys are freaking scores. So when you get that half, yeah, I'll take that. And then with Westbrook, he even getting his own rebounds. So even when he missed, he get a rebound, and he may miss again. But if he get a rebound and throw it out to somebody and they score, he's getting assists, rebounds, and scores.
So do you see Utah back in the playoffs next year?
They're definitely going to be back in the playoffs.
Well, they in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're in the playoffs. How far they're going to get, that's different.
Do we see Houston back in the playoffs next year?
Yes.
Definitely in the playoffs.
Yes.
Same team?
Yes.
No trade? Same team?
I don't think...
They're going to make additions. They're going to make additions.
But I don't think it's major. I don't think D'Antoni sees anything wrong with what he did.
Right.
So if he makes some exchanges here and out, it's not going to be anything to say... Now, I don't think it's going to be
right. Trevor Ariza is the best defensive player they got, and that's the best they're going to get because they don't feel like there's nothing that needs to be adjusted.
We have to outscore the other team.
Right.
So when I was thinking of Houston and D'Antoni, the first person I thought of in the NFL, Chip Kelly.
Mm.
All he wants to do is run the ball.
Get the ball out there. Don't give him a chance. Run it.
That shit. You're wearing your team out, and sometimes you're just too quick. That's where the turnovers come in. You know what I mean? If you do so quickly, you lose the ball in a matter of less than a minute, and then the other team that takes his time, like, look, you just helped us out.
Right.
So I thought of Chip Kelly. As soon as I said the way they're running and gunning is like the way he wants his teams to be. There's got to be some kind of adjustment. Back to your point guard analogy. If you don't get a good balance of that run and gun with other things, it's just not gonna work.
So James Harden's still playing point guard next year.
Yeah, he is.
All right. So what about Houston? I mean Utah. What do they need?
So they need speed, I think. They're long, and I think they even got a good flow. They just look bad because they play Golden State.
They're so slow. If you look at Utah, they're a slow team.
Right.
Anytime, I mean,
they play fast.
They have traditional
Clippers,
players, but... you know, no big names. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a mediocre team.
But they need
You need to bring in a highlight player. Pay him some good money.
So you're saying Gordon Hayward is not worth a pair of Nikes? Then that's
I'm not discrediting Gordon Hayward. What I'm discrediting is he can't do it. It can't just be Utah and Gordon Hayward. It's got to be Gordon Hayward and somebody else.
Yeah. So Joe Johnson got to go.
Joe Johnson is not relevant.
He's a bench guy.
I don't know why we're even giving him talk time. He is slow and irrelevant. If I need a guy to come in the clutch, man, to give me no more than 10 minutes a game, that's what he's good for.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give him $10 million to get 10 minutes a game. Yeah. No, you can go somewhere else and bust their cap. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that
don't
ain't,
get on mine, right?
Yeah, that ain't what I need. Come in. He think too much. Joe Johnson, he's a slow paced player that thinks a lot. I don't really need that right now in Utah.
But the league don't need that.
Nah, man.
The league isn't, we don't look at those.
Nah.
The people who's winning don't play like that.
No.
Nah, not at all.
No.
Yeah,
no.
That's early 2000s right there.
That's what I'm saying. So they need speed. You know, I'm not looking at specific players, but if they don't have speed on that team and probably a speed scorer, a person who has speed and scores,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they can compete. They're going to win, of course, because they are a good team, but they're not competitive to the people who's winning.
Right.
Utah can't beat Houston. They can't keep up with them. they won't be able to keep up with them.
Rudy Gobert is slow. I like him. He's slow. If I got a four out there playing five, he's gonna be limited to what he can do. He barely can get it back up and down the floor running and gunning. I mean, he's long, but sometimes that length, it detours you away from where I need you and where your capabilities are good at.
Right.
Down in the hole, you know, you're a stuffer. But if I come down the court and I score before you even get back down at end, I mean, you're irrelevant, right?
True.
So look at that team. And that's why I wanted to see Milwaukee. Because you said they're kind of
long
and lean, but they're faster.
Yeah.
It's a difference.
Yeah, they're faster. So when you see the speed of Milwaukee, but Utah is a little more traditional, big men, mm-hmm. kind of like, hey, let's kind of bruise you.
Yeah, they're still doing that pick and roll.
Hey, yeah, yeah, exactly. There. And I don't think, especially for the West Coast, I don't think that type of system matches up well. They played Clippers, right?
Yeah, they played Clippers first.
They played the Clippers. Come on
now. But they were slow.
Yeah. So, you know, they went seven games, though. Mm-hmm. It could have went either way. But the Clippers are Clippers. You know. Golden State was like, I don't know what y'all on the court for.
Garbage.
Yeah. I don't know why you're here. I don't even know why you're here.
Garbage.
What are you doing?
That's crazy.
Yeah. But sadly, that's what I saw with them. And San Antonio, you see, which is, I think that's why I really want Pop to win. You see, he's changed because of this is how Houston is. This is how we got to play. Mm-hmm. This is what Houston is. This is how Golden State is. This is how we got to play. Yeah, they let them get back in the game, but they let them get back in the game because Kawhi got off the field and he balances them.
Yeah,
even when the team is doing well, he stabilizes them.
You didn't even realize
they can't win without him.
They did if he can stabilize them. Because the game, if Harden played harder, that would have been a lot closer game.
But see, this is what I'm trying to. This is the
you
point.
You can't win with the Spurs. You can't win without Leonard.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they didn't win. You can't win without him.
Well, you can't beat Golden State. You
can't beat Golden State.
You Golden State.
This is the reference from the last podcast. If Houston would have won, it would have been a shootout. It would have been like, okay, Houston's going to have to outshoot and outscore Golden State. Mm-hmm. But the Spurs has a legitimate chance not to outscore, but to beat the Golden State Warriors. Yeah. And you seen that last night. You seen it. You literally seen it all the way up until
the fourth quarter.
Until the Warriors seen Kawhi Leonard walk to the back.
But see, I'm gonna tell you, if I go to a lot of the games of Golden State's games, they play fourth quarter ball.
No, all right. Look. I watched the game, and this is the thing about the Warriors that they punch you in the face in the first quarter. That's they get down.
They take a lot of shots in the first quarter.
No, that's they get down. Clock and see what they scored in the playoffs this whole first quarter and see their average in the first quarter.
It was high.
They clock
for numbers. To teams you sweep.
Yeah.
Not to a caliber team, man.
They only played the Spurs. They only played. That's the only caliber team they've played.
So we're talking about now.
So this
I can't
is what
talk about them scrubs. I can't talk about the scrubs in the first round, man.
We can only talk about the playoffs.
Right.
We're talking about the playoffs as a whole. We can't talk about them individually. This is a whole playoffs here. So the Golden State Warriors have to get that 35 points in that first quarter. If they don't, then they try again in the third quarter. It's usually late in the third quarter where they start flaming. Mm-hmm. And then they pick up in the fourth. But if they don't pick up in the third, it's usually Clay. But if they don't pick up in the third, then it's going to be a real tough, close fourth quarter.
So I want to go to, before you finish, I want to go to the point, if you really start listening to a lot of coaches that play Golden State, mm-hmm. and they have a lead, they always say they're about to have their run. They always know.
See it, bruh.
It's the third. It's the end of the third or the beginning of the fourth. They're blazing. They're gonna start shooting regardless, man. Whether they miss it or not. They are shooting and they are gunning.
The first 13 points of the third quarter last night, yesterday, was like 11 of those points was from Steph Curry. Yeah. He was on fire. And the Spurs was keeping up. They was down, but they were still down by 20. It was perfect. It was like legitimately it was a good perfect.
Go ahead, keep shooting.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then Kawhi hit that little... Kawhi did that little fadeaway.
That three-pointer, right?
Yeah. Well, he did the three-pointer, made it, and then he hit David Lee. Stepped on David Lee's foot. He could have rolled the game out.
Yeah.
If it was just that. But when he stepped on Zaza's foot, it was kind of like, you seen the Warriors. The Warriors was like, gravy. This is perfect. Yeah. All right, it's time to take advantage. Curry was already in full form.
Yep.
He was already 15 points up, you know, in the third quarter because he was bumming in the first quarter, you know. So he was already 15 points up. And then Kawhi Leonard walks out. And then I text you. I was just like,
this
game's over, bruh. Yep. I text you 7 minutes into the third quarter that the game was over. Yeah, I still got the text.
Okay.
Bruh. It was nothing. When you remember, and again, I talk about it all the time, the Spurs, it's all momentum.
Yep.
It's all momentum. It reminded me of when the Spurs played Miami.
Right, right.
I talked about it in the last podcast.
Yep.
So they have to have Kawhi back for their
mental stability.
Spurs shot 51%. The Warriors shot 35%.
In the first quarter or first half?
First half.
So I know in the second half,
bro, they couldn't do nothing. The system, it was a well-oiled machine. It was a well-oiled machine they was working in the first half. Even when the third quarter they was hitting it and they was starting to flame,
But they Kawhi
was still keeping that at bay.
When he hit that shot, it put them back up by 20.
Yeah, it was like.
So I don't care if y'all keep shooting threes.
Yep.
We'll hit a two. We'll hit another two. Then we'll hit a three.
Yep.
And it's back up to 20. But as soon as he walked out, then it was 15.
Yep.
And then it was, because I was trying to watch some of it, and they kept calling me back downstairs. And I was like, damn, I want to see the rest of this. And then you was texting me, and they was like, what are you looking at? Nothing. But I was like, yo, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
But when Kawhi is not there to say, look, don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this.
Yeah, man, because he don't panic. Like,
he doesn't.
He controls
the tempo of the game, man.
Yeah.
He controls the tempo of the game.
But again, people have the anomaly of that last Houston game that, oh, they can take care of it. No, you're playing Golden State now.
Right.
You're not playing Houston. You playing with the weapons that they have. They don't even have to shoot three-pointers anymore. You got KD right there.
Yeah.
Who's going to take it in your face or pull you totally out of the paint.
Yep.
And come on,
man,
now.
He had like a quiet 30. Didn't he have like 30?
Yeah, he had about 30. What's his name? At 40, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, and
he had like
still
a quiet 30-something.
Yeah, bro. I was like, wow. He still stepped up, man.
But
so,
see, here's the problem. And this is what I keep saying. They're looking past San Antonio. They're looking at Cleveland. And KD didn't dominate. He just scored. There's a difference between dominating and scoring.
Yeah.
Curry dominated because they needed him to start it off.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't start it off, they would have lost. If he would have started missing, they would have lost.
Absolutely.
So he dominated. KD didn't. So if KD keeps scoring like he is, they're going to lose. But I think he's waiting for Cleveland. He is not waiting on anything. This is fine. When I want to dominate, I want to show I'm better than LeBron James. And I'm going to beat LeBron James with my team. He's waiting. He's not going to dominate unless I'm wrong and he winds up to be a punk and just be that scorer that needs somebody else to help him.
Well,
I don't think he is, but you know, you did go to Golden State.
I mean, Klay Thompson. Klay, this is really what I wanted to say to everybody. Klay Thompson is looking like Harrison Barnes.
From last year?
Yes.
It's early.
What you mean by that?
Harrison Barnes didn't show up last year.
What I'm saying is KD has taken Klay Thompson's spot and is getting more obvious as the games go on.
So when Klay was scoring and Barnes, they were expecting him to score as much like him, and he didn't. And when they needed him, they left that ass on the bench.
I'm just looking at Klay right now as more of a defensive threat.
But he's a better scorer than that, though.
He's a better scorer than that, but sometimes you got to play your role.
But that wasn't his role. So that's why KD is taking that, and I think it's making him uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because he wants to score. Because he knew that was his spot. So that's why I was telling you the last one. He needs to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I've been said that.
He's going to have to go.
In order for him to be the player that he wants to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He got to go somewhere else. But then you got Durant. It's only there for 2 years.
Right.
He won't resign. So he got one more year.
Yeah.
So you don't think he's going to resign? He's not?
I don't think the option is going to be on the table unless they lose something.
So if they lose this year, he's going to be like, oh, shit.
Or if they lose Klay Thompson this year. I think one of the two. I think if they lose this year.
So if you say if they lose. So go ahead.
I think if they lose this year. He's definitely going to be like, he's going to weigh his options out. But bigger than them losing, whether they win or lose, Klay Thompson is going to weigh his options out. He's going to go for the money. Because
he doesn't like
the position that he's in. He knows he's better than what the position that they're placing him in.
Yep.
And he don't like it, bro.
Yeah.
It's affecting his game. You can see it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, his numbers are down. So, I mean, anytime you take a prime player, man, and they numbers down, you know, you got a lot of people asking you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm not even talking about people inside the organization. I'm talking about, you know, your friends,
mm-hmm.
man, you know, everybody in here like, what's up? Since Durant, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they point a finger at Durant. Like, you know, mm-hmm. since Durant been there, you know, look at you.
Right. What's going on with your ass?
Things looking a little different with you, man. Right. So what the hell really going on? You know what I'm saying? Shit, yeah. He got partners. His mama's probably asking him, baby, what's the deal? You know, because she's seeing all that decline.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sad because he's a better player than that. But if you can't get your niche back because the system was made for them,
mm-hmm.
not KD,
right.
But now the system, he's like, I'm here now. And he's kind of like, yo.
I like y'all system. Let me get down.
So he's kind of like, maybe I should move on.
Right.
So back to KD though. So if they lose this year, but they win the next year, don't you think he's going to want to win again with that team? Because if he goes somewhere else, he only has one ring. He wants to be able to say, now this is the year that we win, and we did, so now I want another one. So I think he will stay if they win next year,
if they
lose this year.
Right.
But if Klay leaves, he knows he's got a permanent spot there, right. And they win.
And they're going to give him the money.
Then he'd be like, look, don't worry about it. I got your void. Mm-hmm. I got that void.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they win twice. And then he's like, now I can leave. I got two rings. Now I'm going to be like LeBron. I'm going to go somewhere and be the star and let them know everything revolves around me.
Three rings.
Right, right.
He'll have three rings.
Who?
If he get it this year, next year, Klay, he'll have three.
No, not Klay. I'm talking about KD.
Oh, okay.
If they win, if he win twice, he has no reason to stay there. Then he can show that he's one of the most dominant players in the league by leading another team.
I agree.
Then I think that punk syndrome, they'd be like, yo, there he is. Mm-hmm. And then he don't have to worry about it because even if they lose, he said, I got two rings. I got rings. What you talking about?
Yeah.
So, but Klay, I think he has such great options he can go to, man. Because we just talking about the team
everywhere.
That can,
He can go everywhere, man. He'll fit in New Orleans.
He can go to Utah.
Man, I'll put Klay Thompson on the Bucks.
He'll fit in OKC. I mean, he'll fit in the Bucks.
Ooh,
he'll fit with the Bucks.
That'll be interesting, because that'll be longer.
Then that'll be his team. It goes through me. You know what I'm saying? And then Antetokounmpo would really like that. That might work.
Yeah, that might work. That's a good call out, yo. I didn't think I was staying on the West Coast, but yeah.
Yeah, they could easily. He'll easily show out on the East if he go to the East.
So that's what's up, man. So like, what we missed? What we missed?
We missed who we got tonight's game, the Wizards and the Boston Celtics, man.
So I'm still saying Boston because Washington haven't shown me that they can slow them down in Boston.
In Boston, right.
They can play competitively, but then Boston just pushes away and they're fine.
So what? Now we're going to, I guess LeBron going to be getting a little more rest then.
Yep.
If they play Boston, you can pull the broom out.
who you got winning tonight?
Game 7. I would like to make it a better next round. I would like to see John Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be a better next round.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, maybe I can say, well, you know, maybe they could lose one.
Maybe.
If I see that green and white come out there, man, pull the broom out. Pull the broom out, man. Y'all ain't big enough, man.
The whole team is not big enough.
You little guys home, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're not.
And LeBron, he's already the king of rest. He's the king of rest.
Yeah.
So he's going to pull the broom out, and he's going to get a little more rest.
Yeah, he's going to take a nap.
And you know what? That helps with all the little nagging injuries that they have.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, look, man, I'm just going to be in this hot tub. I'm going to get in this, that ice tub. And I'm good. I'm just waiting.
Yeah.
So he won't be able, Isaiah won't be able to go to the hole like he did with them.
Oh, not at all. They too big. They strong. Big they fresh. Strong.
Yep.
They're fresh. LeBron is a monster, man.
And he like blocks. LeBron is like, if I see the ball, I'm blocking it dead in your face like he did with Curry. Like, MVP? Remember that? MVP.
Man, LeBron is a monster, dog.
So, I like
the Warriors better hope they not. If the Warriors get any injury, even if they get a bench injury, there's a possibility. There's a more big of a chance that they not going to win in the finals.
So I think San Antonio is going to put probably a kind of hurting on them.
Yeah.
Because
That scared them last night, man.
It did. It made them aware that stop looking beyond them and play who's in front of you. But telling you, that's their eyes.
Most importantly, it also showed them that they better be on their game when it comes to Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all bet. Y'all can be as good as y'all want to be at home, but it's still not going to be good enough with the presence of Kawhi on that court.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
So if Kawhi, they were like, let's take you out. This is just the first game. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Kawhi be like, God damn, but I could have played it. Game 6, what happened? That your team stepped up for you.
Yep.
Yeah, we can lose in Golden State. You know, this is their court.
Right.
But we got to at least win one. Go sit down. Let's treat your foot, your ankle, or whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll be here too. So that means we got to take 2. We got to take game 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go home.
So I don't think we're going to see Kawhi until they go home. So
you don't think you see him in 2?
I don't think
so. So this will be interesting because when you go back and Pop looked at that game and say, here's the great things that we did. Because going into the third quarter, Kawhi only had about 16 points.
He's going to play 2.
Hell nah, that man had 26 points.
You serious? I thought it was 16.
Man, he left the game, Brad. He left the game with 26. He was the second leading scorer.
So, yeah, but what was halftime?
Oh, at halftime, it was probably like 18. LaMarcus Aldridge had like 16 or 18. And then Kawhi had 16.
So my point was everybody was scoring. So if Pop sits there and talks to them and say, look, y'all was beating them and Kawhi only had 16 points. Y'all was beating these cats by 15 and 20 points, and he didn't even have to do much. Y'all can still do that. These guys, you compete with them.
Kawhi is going to have to play game 2.
No, I got you. He will have to. I hope he does. But if Pop mentality is like, I got to rest my stars.
But and Pop then, knows he can't be down 2-0. Being down 2-0 to Golden State.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's dangerous, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it is Golden State.
That is any other team,
mm-hmm.
I could understand him sitting there. Golden State is dangerous.
Yeah.
You do not want them to get up on you 2-0.
Mm-hmm. And today Monday
at your house.
I mean, yeah.
They
man.
Can take one at your house. That's God. True.
Yeah, today's Monday, so they play tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a quick turn.
And they soaking that ankle.
Yeah.
They're going to tape it up real good, and they just going to tell them, just be normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do nothing extra.
Yep.
Just be normal.
Flow the game.
Flow the game.
Keep the people confident.
Yeah, man.
Flow the game.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Because guess what? Golden State is, they are dangerous. They'll take one anywhere.
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 And you don't want to go home knowing you're down 2-0 and the series could be tied.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, if this is the last hoorah, I need my best player in there.
Yep.
Banged up or not.
Yep.
It might not be a next series. So what are we saving you for?
Yep.
True.
Yep.
It may not be a next series. I mean, it's not like a knee or any. This is your ankle. Hey, mm-hmm. You got to play through that. You got to play through that.
And see, when they played Houston, they had two games to win. You can't do two games with Golden State.
It's a difference.
You can't because the quality of the team. Different You're absolutely
breed.
Right.
Different
I got that.
Breed.
Yep. Yep. That's interesting, though. I really wonder what he'll do, though. Because Pop is crazy that way. He's a genius at the way he thinks.
He's a very, very smart coach.
Yep. But I don't know, to your point, is it really worth it to say, now I got to do the next four games? As opposed to, if I lose this one and they take one on my court, all they need is one of four. That's crazy.
Yep.
That's dangerous. One of four?
That's dangerous.
And they take one from us? No, that's pretty dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty dangerous. So, wow. That's a good point, too. But we know Cleveland is going to run over them, Judge. So.
Yeah. I definitely.
But I think the game to see if they play Washington. You know, Bill had like 40 points that game.
Yeah.
So he
finally
had a scoring game. I think he contributed the other games, but he finally had a scoring game, which I know he can do.
Unfortunately, based on statistics, you know, based on people, based on everything that's going on with the series, no one has beat either one of each other on the home court.
Yep.
So I'm not going to bet against that. You know what I'm saying? But I am going to, I do see Boston not winning the game against the Cavaliers.
Oh, no.
Like,
so
I do. You hit it on the nail, Chet. There's not one position that they can beat anybody on. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tristan Thompson is going to give Al Horford some competition.
He can.
You know.
Those two bigs.
But Tristan can move. Tristan can move, bro.
He can
so
move.
That was strange to me when they was playing Houston. And he was barely. He was.
Who?
He had no moves. It was Al Horford, right?
For you said they were playing against Houston.
When I was talking about, oh, not Houston. When who am I talking about?
They was the Wizards.
No, I'm not talking about.
Who did they play
Wizards.
Before they played the Wizards?
I lost my train of thought. I'm watching somebody that was playing, when the center on San Antonio,
LaMarcus Aldridge.
He was lumbering, man, and He can't move. But he should have been dominating. They had all these small dudes on him,
he
taking fadeaways.
Yeah,
he can't move, man.
That's not a good thing to run with Golden State. So that's another lineup switch that they probably need to do as well.
Yeah, he plays power forward.
Whole game, man, he can't get a dunk.
No, he got like one dunk maybe the whole game.
He's taking fadeaways.
That's all he does.
Like, what the fuck is that, man? Yeah.
I don't know, man. That shit is
weak.
Yeah,
weak.
Very trash.
I mean,
so they tried to replace Duncan and say, "Here's a Duncan, right?" But Duncan is still in the paint.
Yeah, being aggressive, man. Yeah.
So that really, when you said that, I was like, "Damn, where is he?" I said, "Oh, he's in fucking San Antonio." But that really disturbed me because you can't compete with Golden State playing like that either.
Nah,
you can't. You gotta have the legs under you. And get closer to the basket and have some better damn moves in order to play against them. Especially with old boy playing center. Come on now.
Yeah, he missed the last three-pointer in the game. They could have won the game. Yep. LaMarcus Aldridge missed the last-minute three-pointer.
Yeah, which he shouldn't have been taking. That's what I'm saying. But he was open.
Disappointing.
I'm going to tell you, if that was Al Horford, he would have hit that.
I think so.
I'm not basing them two players, but I'm just giving you the difference of I would have rather seen Al Horford take that three than LaMarcus Aldridge. Mm-hmm. You know, when we talking about a big, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Al Horford, his three-pointers, man, they went up this year. He looking good out there.
Yeah.
He's a threat out there. Yeah. So, you know, I can't say I wouldn't have wanted my big to take the shot. You know what
but
I'm
if
saying?
I had a big to
if
take
if I had a big to take the shot, I would have rather had Al Horford as my big to take that shot than LaMarcus Aldridge. You know? So I mean, yeah, man.
San Antonio, Golden State. What you got?
As long as Kawhi comes back.
So Kawhi's back.
Game two.
Kawhi's
come back game two and he's 80%. I see Golden State winning in six.
Golden State in six. Chet?
I don't want.
Yeah,
that wasn't what I wanted.
I want San Antonio in five, but.
Right.
If they can come back and tie this series up, I really can't even say right now.
Really?
The next two games in San Antonio. Not tonight. Right. I mean, not tomorrow.
Right.
But you get two in a row.
The two in a row in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, is it three? I thought it's two.
Yeah, two, so
which
one
is the three in a row? That's the finals?
No, that was back in the day. Oh, okay. They upgraded that long time ago.
See what I'm saying?
Ago.
So I'm looking at it like this. If they can come out there and get a W tomorrow, they go home tied up. I think they can win both of their home games.
So you see them in six or you see them in seven? Because I see what you're saying.
See, that's the crazy part about it. If I'm looking at them to win their home games,
they're going to win their home games.
Yeah. So I think they're going to win.
The Spurs going to win their home games.
They're going to win their home games. Especially if they win one in Golden State.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's
but Kawhi has to be there.
So if Kawhi is there and they lose in Golden State.
Okay. But he got to be 80%. All right. Now, if Kawhi's 100%, I do see them going to seven. And I do see the Spurs possibly winning.
So I don't see a seven-game Spurs win. I see a six-game Spurs win.
Spurs win because they got to win
I don't
win
see
home.
A seven-game Spurs win.
Okay.
Because I think if they get one tomorrow and all they have to do
is win at home,
those two at home, then they go back to Golden State.
Yeah.
That sixth game will be at home. And then they close it out. Because Pop do not want to play a game seven. He's going to put all his cash on the table to say, go all out, fellas, because we will not win in Golden State.
A lot of wishing and hoping on this podcast today.
This is when you know how the championship looks. This is when, and again, back on the other side, Cleveland just putting their feet up.
Honestly.
Because they blowing through these niggas.
LeBron is the king of rest. It's proven, man. You know, he is the king of rest. He pulls out a pillow, man, and he sits back, you know, and he kick his feet up, man, and he watch everybody else, man, while they still out there scuffling, man, trying to get what they gonna get.
They ain't got bench chairs. They got fold out futons that they sit on the bench.
Yeah,
man. They got pull outs,
man. You know what I'm saying?
They got pull outs.
Your head sink down in the pillow, man. When you
you got some throws on that bench.
Yeah, man, it's real.
They got Asians doing feet behind, right on the chairs, and right behind the benches.
They just chilling.
In game three.
So that's why, one way or another, I say, and again, I say San Antonio in six.
San Antonio in six.
Or Golden State in seven. Because if they can't get them in six, it's going to go to a game seven. They're going to win. They're going to get their three. I think San Antonio will get their three, even if it's just at home. Mm-hmm. They're going to get their three. But if they could get one of them in Golden State, they will win all of their games at home.
Okay. I see. If Kawhi's not there.
If Kawhi's not there.
I see them definitely gone in six. If Kawhi's possibly there. Possibly five.
If the leader's not there, they're going to have problems.
Yeah.
Point blank.
Yeah.
Y'all seen
it. I don't even think they could win two without Kawhi.
But Kawhi should be back for the home game.
Should be. He needs to be back tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I mean.
I do agree.
They ain't got no time to wait on no home game.
Nope.
That's the problem that Pop facing right now.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. Because I need you. I need to have you on the court.
I don't want you here.
Yeah, I need to have you, man. And
so did y'all hear after the game what Pop had to say about him?
Hey, it's like he went directly to that seat, like right after the buzzer went off.
Right.
Because what they did was he was sitting there, and I don't know if you noticed, but no, he was waiting. He was waiting. And then they showed, like, everybody in the audience. It was literally, like, five people in there. It was, like, mad empty. You know what I'm saying?
So he was like, let's get it done with.
Right. So he came in there. He was just like, all right. Questions? So it was, like, maybe three questions.
Then he was like, I'm out of here.
He's like, all right, last call. All right, I'm out of here.
So he didn't want to wait with nobody. He was like, if the group comes in, then he knows he's going to have to answer a lot. Mm-hmm. So he was like, look, if I could get in here, I'm done.
Hey, man, this is a little clever look. But I peeped what he said. But what were you referring to? I'm sorry.
So I was wondering if he gave any info on Kawhi or anything that, hey, look, he looks good. He did this.
No, he didn't even want to talk about.
Nope, didn't even. Yep.
That infuriated him on the inside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Know? He was angry.
Yeah.
If you had front seats at that game and you seen what I seen on TV while I was telling you this, like literally when Kawhi stepped foot off that court, bruh, the energy just changed.
Yeah, it did.
You know what I'm saying? The after the timeout, they scored again and it was like, oh my God, these niggas about to win. They was down by 18. They was down by 18. And I was in
you
shock.
You felt it.
You literally felt the heart snatched out of the Spurs, bruh.
Yeah.
It was like, they was win. My God.
If you looked at it, they knew they was going to win. They knew they was going to win. And it was kind of like, so all we have to do is maintain shot for shot, we're good.
But they couldn't do that.
But after he left, it was kind of like, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Pop was probably like, you stupid, you fucking dumbasses. Yeah, you're one without him.
Yeah,
maintain shot for shot, and we win.
They was literally in panic mode for like 5 minutes, man.
Scrambling, man. Turnover after turnover. Yep.
Damn.
Coming down, falling on the... I mean, it was just crazy madness. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Niggas falling down like on the floor and everybody diving for balls and shit. I'm like, get out of here, man.
They had to bring Manu back in for a second. It was
discombobulated, man. It was real bad. It was bad.
He didn't know what to do once he left, man. It was like the transmission went out.
So, still didn't get yours, though. So, Chet. So, scenario. Let's just go with the scenario that Kawhi will be back next game.
Then I'm gonna go San Antonio six. If he's back, I'm gonna go San Antonio six.
So that's how I'm seeing it.
Yeah,
I
can respect that.
I think.
But if he's not back.
No.
I'm letting y'all know this. If he's not back this next game, bye-bye. Putting them babies in the bed, man.
But okay, if it's bye-bye, it's bye-bye in what?
In five.
Yeah.
Really?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I agree. So if Kawhi's not there at all, or just if he shows up in game three and on, it's still five? You really think it's five?
I really.
So you think Golden State will beat them in San Antonio?
Yeah.
Wow.
If Kawhi is not
back tomorrow, it's too much pressure. It's a lot of pressure
on that third game.
Yeah. Too much. It's going to be too much on Kawhi on game three. Too much. He's going to have to feel like he has to.
When he's not even 100%.
Yep.
Right.
So it's going to be. It's going to be physically a little more than he can handle.
So I think now that was a good one. As long as Kawhi is present on that bench and he can play at least 5 to 7 minutes per quarter,
mm-hmm.
they can still win game two. But he's going to have to be there. He can't not play.
He got to be suited up.
He got to be suited and booted.
Laced up and ready to go.
Got to be suited and booted. You know, got to start.
He don't have to stay the whole first and second quarter.
He got to be able to sparingly. Yeah, he got to be able to distribute, and he got to be able to bring that defensive intimidation that they need.
Right.
While he's out there. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say 80%
mm-hmm.
is good.
Because he's going to want to play unless...
Man.
He's got to play unless Pop tell him no. And I think, to your point, Chet, I think Pop really has to say, we can't win, we can't beat this team
right.
without Kawhi. We can beat teams, but this team, no, I need all the weapons possible.
Right.
All of them.
So I think for Popovich is the biggest decision is, all right, is this man going to need surgery if we continue to play him?
Because he still got to play in the finals.
Exactly.
So.
Is this too bad to the point where if we continue to play him, it's going to affect him next season?
So I think
maybe that's the balance that's going on.
But right I don't now. Think that's an issue. You know why that's not an issue?
Why?
Because it's the beginning of the season. So you have the whole off season, and I don't have to play you for the first 2 months. True. That's okay.
True.
I'll work my team. We don't have to get that 60 games a year.
Mm-hmm.
We may get 50 something.
Yeah, but we usually get 50 anyway. So
that's point. Still,
okay,
so,
I got you.
You can sit him out.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just make the team work without Kawhi for the first half, and they're good. They're better even without Kawhi than the other six teams that's in the playoffs right now.
True.
The other six teams, they will be a number three or number four
without Kawhi,
and just run past half of the people that's in there like they are number one or number two seed.
Yeah.
So they don't need Kawhi for next. So I don't think that's in his mind. I think how much can he contribute, and we don't want to hurt him
mm-hmm.
going into the finals. We want to push him, but we can't hurt him because the ultimate is to win the finals, not to be there.
But right. it goes back to saying what I said earlier. If you don't use him now, mm-hmm. you won't make it there.
Right.
Yeah, you won't
so
even
make it.
So
it's gonna be,
it's a do or die.
It's gonna be a pro and a con. If you want him to play now, you do risk him not being 100% later on down the road.
So I don't think he's gonna be 100%. So let's take 100%. But go ahead, because he's just not, because there's not enough recovery time for him.
Oh yeah, not at all.
It's not, but. As good as a player he is, 80%
is better than a lot of other players.
It's better than a lot of other players.
Yep.
So with that being said, you play him,
mm-hmm.
you win.
Yep.
You sit him,
you lose. Yeah.
So it's going to have to be a determination of not only what do you think is best for the team, what do you think is best for Kawhi and everybody? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be decisions that's gotta be made. So I mean, you know, you just can't sit back and fold your arms, man, and think somebody else gonna pick up the pieces. They're not.
Not with the caliber team they playing.
Playing against.
So I'm still going back to your point is if it was any other team, he would have sat out. No big deal.
Right.
they could win. They could lose the next game, and he'll be like, "Man, right. don't worry about it.
Right.
We got this."
Right.
When Kawhi comes back, we'll just sweep him right. four games straight.
Right.
That's his mentality because he knows the quality of his team with Kawhi. With Golden State, everybody dude,
biting their nails.
Mm-hmm. What are we gonna do? I'm gonna have Kawhi. So this is why I think Pop is a better coach. He's gonna say, Kawhi, to your point, Sean, we're gonna limit your time on the court. You're gonna be on the court, but this is how I need for you to play.
Right.
We don't need you driving to this. You can't be point. You will be just shooting. So we're gonna get plays so you don't have to do a lot of movement or a lot of lateral going back and forth. Mm-hmm. We're gonna help you within the system. And if we can win within the system to right. protect Kawhi,
right.
you'll be fine. Right. He'll put some pressure on that it's ankle, possible. But he's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Pop is smart enough to say, that's the way I'm going to use you. Because you're right. You're playing Golden State. You're not playing Houston again.
Right. You already don't have Tony Parker. So
exactly. So all of that is kind of like, wow. So I got you. He's got to play.
Got to play.
He's got to play. So I think truly if he plays, if they get this one, I'm telling you, San Antonio's, they got these niggas. They done.
Mm.
They got them in six. Because Pop can't afford to go to seven. If they go to seven,
it's a wrap.
I don't see it. Unless psychologically they got them. You know what I mean? Because they can see that seven-game series just like they did last year, and you can get them shook. But I think then you get a good balance with KD. I think you got enough firepower to win that seven.
Yeah.
I think the firepower is there for a seven. I don't think it's there for a six because their mind may be thinking, if we play good enough, we can go to seven, and once we go home, we're fine.
We're fine.
And then
you
playing almost not at the ultimate level. You making assumptions because you're so good.
You're trying to get to seven.
That's why I'm thinking Golden State has a mentality issue with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't think this was two podcasts down when I'm saying the danger is them psychologically going back to remembering last season.
Yeah.
And that can happen. That could have happened last night. To say, oh, shit, we probably can lose.
It happened last night.
But they won, though.
But exactly.
So it's kind of like, right. let's get back to it now.
Yeah.
So, but if they would have lost, now if they lose this one, it's kind of like, damn, we got to play now. And I don't think, what's his name, is that good of a coach. Kerr, I don't think is that good of a coach to kind of adjust. I haven't seen him adjust. I've seen him keep playing his same game.
Yeah.
Keep shooting, shall it go in. Keep shooting, shall it go in?
Yeah.
KD, get your shot. Keep shooting, shall it go in? I don't see him changing anything. So that's why I see him as the manager. I don't see him as the coach.
Gotcha.
Pop is a coach. He's coaching these guys to say, y'all can win with or without him, but this is the way we're going to win with him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We're going to win with him in this way. He's not going to be the Kawhi that you expect him to be, but he's going to do this.
Yep. Yep.
And they've shown they can do it.
I agree with that. So, I agree with that.
Which to me is like, freaking amazing. Show fetish. You got it? You said five if Kawhi's not in, six with Kawhi. And that's what I had. Yep. You just said Golden State in.
Yeah, I still say Golden State in six.
And it can be.
Yeah.
And you know, again.
With or without Kawhi. Even though with Kawhi, it's a
competitive series.
Yeah, it's a very competitive series, man. It can go either way, six. So.
Absolutely. So appreciate it, guys. Tonight we're gonna Washington, Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I still see Boston. I don't see them. I see them coming on the court, but they haven't beaten. Washington had a chance to beat them there, but they just haven't.
Yeah.
So I don't see this being any different. You know, because they should have lost the last one.
Yeah, true story. They should have lost.
They should have lost the last one. They stepped up on their own court though. That's a big difference. Now you're on somebody else's. So I look forward to that one. But, you know, LeBron's going to sweep if it's Boston. But with Washington, I think we'll see a good scoring game.
I still see Cavs in five.
Yeah.
Definitely. If they win a game, they won't win more than one.
One game. One game.
But that's the the obvious that I'm taking away from Boston. They won't win one.
Yeah, man.
But he said, if you see that green,
yeah, you know, young team, man. They just not they there did well, yet, man.
But they did well, though.
Brad Stevens, man. Look,
yeah, they did well.
Coach of the year, man. Brad Stevens, man. I like him. I like him a lot, bro.
He deserved the credit. Mm-hmm. Deserved the credit. So, old car wax, NBA series type of discussion. We got ours out. We'll be ready for the finals in about another week or so. And then we can hit that up and we could get that input from there. But we had our predictions. And you can see us on BougieBlackBrother.com or BougieBlackBro on the gram. BougieBlackBro on Twitter. Stop calling me. What's the IG? What's your Twitter?
DJ Activist on Twitter.
So, Chet, somebody want to give you some feedback and say, yo, thanks for the contribution.
Right now, yeah. My network down right now. From the social media. Yeah. I'm down and out right now. But
You can, bro.
Yeah, but it's okay. I'll be back.
When it comes up, we'll let you know, though.
Oh, yeah.
We'll let you know.
Hey, any and all feedback is much appreciated, too.
Thanks. And follow us on bougieblackbrother.podbean.com. You see all the podcasts there. So you can see the previous podcasts on the NBA as well. So appreciate your time, fellas. Good discussion. And we'll see you next time on Old